Good morning. Welcome to our Monday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. This week we're began a sermon series actually yesterday on the road to resurrection. And so over the next 6 weeks, we'll be looking at different aspects of this final week of Jesus leading up to his death, burial, and resurrection, and culminating on Resurrection Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, which brings about the ability for our resurrection as we live as those who have died to sin and have risen in Christ. And so during the week, these broadcasts have been helping us dig a little deeper. It focuses on this, the prayer guides that I write every week, which have been correlating with the Sunday message. And it's one of those ways that we can dig a little deeper. I also do a Wednesday night, Wednesday evening Zoom study. That takes a second look at the text and message from Sunday. So between the two of them, we hopefully offer an opportunity for people to dig deeper and apply the principles that I may not have been able to cover on a time period on a Sunday morning. But this may seem a little out of schedule or out of place in a sense. It focuses on the events, or some of the events, on what we would typically call Palm Sunday. And each week, as we look at a different aspect of this road to resurrection, we'll consider what it looks like, what it looked like for Jesus to walk that road, but what it looks like for us to walk that road. And we're going to begin this week with a topic about sorrow over silence, or sorrow because of silence. In Luke 19, verse 40, and that's kind of where we're going to camp out this week, is this section of Luke 19 from about 40 to 45, 46, somewhere in there. So Luke 19:40 says, and this is Jesus speaking, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This is near the end of the story of the triumphal entry of Jesus. The crowds are shouting, "Hosanna." They're worshiping God. They're praising this man, Jesus, as their Savior. And, well, the religious leaders weren't all that happy about it. And they're not having any luck with the crowds. As a matter of fact, they're, I believe, afraid of the crowds at this point. But they realize that the people tend to listen to Jesus. And so they go to Jesus and ask him to tell his followers to keep quiet. That what they're doing is not appropriate. It's perhaps even blasphemous. And Jesus responds with this statement that if they keep quiet, then the stones will cry out. Now, sometimes we miss context, full context, because of the way the Bible is often divided into sections, and somebody comes along and puts paragraphs, and then they go a step further and they put these headings in as if, well, this is different. And sometimes it's a different scene, a different day. But as I read the text, it appears that, and we'll talk about this further through the week, but it appears that Jesus goes from this triumphal entry to a place, perhaps even on his way into town, that he's able to look out over Jerusalem and he weeps. And I suspect part of that background of Jesus weeping over Jerusalem is amplified by this sorrow over those who would attempt to silence true worship. He knew what was coming. The Bible makes it clear that as the time drew near, that he set his face like flint towards Jerusalem. There was nothing that would deter him from accomplishing what he came to earth to do. And yet there was still this hope and prayer that people would get it. They would realize what he had been teaching and practicing throughout his entire ministry. That the words that he would share would sink in. There would be an understanding and acceptance of who he was. Not in order to avoid the cross, but to help the listeners. To ease some of the disillusionment. Because he wasn't who they wanted. He wasn't who they expected. And as Jesus wept over Jerusalem, I'm fairly confident that those words of the religious leaders begging him to silence his followers were ringing in his ears. And I wonder how often we cause a similar sorrow by refusing to worship as we ought. By being willing to be silent. But as I thought about that, and as I looked at that verse, and I think about the road of sorrow that Jesus walked, and I thought about our life. And how we sometimes take on that role, in a sense, of those religious leaders because we don't understand the worship that others are offering to God. Or we're on the other side of it where someone doesn't understand our worship that we're offering to God. Now, to be clear, I believe there are things that become distracting. And Paul writes to the Corinthians and he has a number of instructions about orderly worship and the way to approach God as a group, and so as not to offend others but not to distract others. And so I understand there's need for teaching and correcting and change in our life and perhaps the lives of others too. But there ought to be a sorrow over any attempt to silence true and genuine worship of God. That we would be filled with that same sorrow that Jesus had. And we're going to talk about this a little more, about weeping over Jerusalem throughout the week. But today I wanted to focus specifically on the element of silence that brings about sorrow. God's desire is that we would be a witness for Christ, that people would know that we are His disciples by the way we love one another, that we would always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. And yet, we live in a world, we often work in a culture that doesn't appreciate conversations about Jesus. With social media, we've kind of thrown out a lot of historical practices, especially when it comes to conversation, but that had always been the old adage as I grew up, was there were two things you didn't talk about, specifically with strangers, with visitors, with guests, and that was religion and politics. Well, we've decided that that was kind of an outdated adage, and social media allows us to not simply talk about both of these things, but to argue about them with great fervor. But there ought to be a sorrow in our life when someone tries to tell us we shouldn't talk about our faith in Christ. I know the easy comeback, well, I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about a person, I'm talking about relationship. But in the context of growing up, that's really what they were talking about when they were saying don't talk about religion. They were talking about don't talk about the practices of your beliefs, of how you worship God. Keep it to yourself. And there have been times in life when it's been simply easier to allow the crowds or to even allow a single voice to silence us. And it ought to bring about a sorrow in our life to know, to realize the sorrow that silence causes God. And I'm not talking about being obnoxious and getting in people's faces and drawing attention to yourself. Years ago, when I worked in a different role, one of my responsibilities was to visit and encourage a variety of campus ministers and college campuses across the U.S. And one college in particular was very well known for a rock that was on campus where people would come and stand on this rock and be able to say whatever they wanted. And this was probably 20 years ago, before the modern concept of free speech and social media and had taken hold. And it was a rather new thing in this area. And the students would gather, and yet there was one individual that tended to get more than his share of verbal abuse, mocking. And he would stand on that stone and, well, I think, unfortunately, I don't know what God had called him to do, but speak almost in a tone of rage in proclaiming judgment and condemnation on all who refused to listen to him as he talked about God. And I'm not saying, and I'm not even sure I think that was very effective, that that's what we ought to be out doing. But I do believe that if God's word and his spirit within you calls you to stand on a corner and proclaim the good news of Jesus, that the Bible gives us some guidelines on how to do that. When I talked about being ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you, he says to do so with gentleness and respect. We look at the example of Jesus, and that seems to be his approach. And so while there's a sorrow over being silenced, or at least there ought to be, there ought to also be a sorrow over misrepresenting God. And Jesus comes along and says that even in the midst of silence, God will raise up those who worship him. He tells the Romans that we are all without excuse because nature itself teaches us that there is a God. Its worship of him is obvious, or it ought to be obvious by simple observation. And so this sorrow over silence should not simply be a sorrow when we are silenced. It's not simply a sorrow when people try to silence God. But it ought to also be a sorrow when we're not paying attention. When the silence is simply in our head rather than in the surroundings. And there's so many times we hear silence from God not because he doesn't have anything to say, but because we're not really willing to listen. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. He's given us people who gaze into his word and are filled with his spirit that share with us. And so we need to be those who are willing to listen. We need to be those who refuse to silence the worship of others. Yes, it may need some teaching, some training. But not simply because we don't like the expression. We may be those who God calls to overcome the silence. Today, as we spend time praying, I would encourage you to consider the times where you've not known what to say. Sometimes our silence isn't as deliberate as it is that we're unprepared. And that ought to also lead to a sorrow in our life that should not be a devastating sorrow. It should be a sorrow that motivates us to prepare. And consider the times where you might have brought sorrow to God by your silence. The times that you might have brought sorrow to others by trying to restrict their worship of God. And the times when people have brought sorrow to you. Because they have tried to bring silence. And as we consider all of those times, it's time to ask God to help us to be quick to listen, but slow to speak and slow to become angry, so that our worship is genuine. Our worship is honoring God. Our worship is helping others grow. And it's overcoming the sorrow brought about by silence. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has called us to yourself and has given us what we need to come to you and express how our heart has been transformed, our life has been transformed, our very core of our being has been transformed by Jesus. Father, forgive us for those times where we should have expressed worship to you and we've been silent for whatever reason. Perhaps it's fear, perhaps it's being uncomfortable, perhaps it's intimidation by someone. Father, as we understand the worship that is due to you, may we choose to be those that are no longer silent. Help us to know how to worship in ways that are proper and fitting, not only for us, not only for the situation we are in, but for you. Father, for those times where we have been guilty of silencing others, may we seek your forgiveness and know that you will. May we be more intentional about gazing into your word and understanding the presence of your spirit and how it leads not only us to worship, but others to worship you. Father, for those times when people may have tried to silence our worship, may we recognize the sorrow that that brings to you when we fail to worship as we ought to. May we be better at encouraging others. May our worship, especially as we gather with others, be proper and orderly, but may we recognize that that's not, that at least that shouldn't be the sole sum of our worship. That in fact our worship of you ought to be even more amplified and present in all of those hours throughout the week that we've not gathered. May we know the freedom of worship that exists as we spend time with you, as we walk with you, as we live life with you at home, at work, at the places of recreation, at the marketplace, at the schools, wherever we go. Forgive us for confining our definition of worship at times to a gathering on a Sunday morning. May we understand and practice a worship that reaches beyond the limitations that a gathering can have. Father, may that fullness of worship throughout the week help us to worship in an orderly manner, in a manner that's uplifting and encouraging to others. That we would be mindful of one another. That gathering would not simply be trying to meet our needs that we have failed to participate in throughout the week, but it would be a gathering that tries to meet the needs of one another. Father, help us today as we understand the sorrow that is brought about by silence. That we would speak when appropriate, we would listen, and that our worship of you that's done out loud would be done in ways that are respectful, that are gentle, that helps people to see your love. Father, today as we overcome that silence that so easily grabs hold of us, may our worship be such that it lifts up Jesus, so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Monday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.